All right. Well, welcome to a standalone message today. We've been in some series today. Every now and then I just like to do a standalone message that's not in a series. This is one of those days. As we approach July the 4th, we have just a special message regarding our freedom today. And let me just welcome all of you here. So glad that you're here. And let me especially give a shout out to our small group leaders that are doing a phenomenal job. Phenomenal job. Thank you for all those that are serving. Doesn't our lawn look good outside? Doesn't it look great? I just really appreciate the landscaping small group and just what they're doing and how they're serving. And in fact, I just have to say a little personal note, personal kudos to Bob, who cut me some steps between my house and the church over this little berm where we like to slide down the mud on the way back to the house. He cut me out some steps. Thank you, Bob. And I was like, that was a surprise. And so I really appreciate the team and what they're doing and how they're serving. And let me just say, on the end of this short, brief summer semester on July the 11th, that's coming up real quick here, we're going to have a serve day. And I hope that everyone will be a part of that, especially all those that are in a small group. And really, everybody, we want to be church-wide participation in reaching out and serving our community. You know, we had an event a couple of weeks ago where our community was of College Downs was here in the house having a picnic on our lawn, and we got to have the opportunity to engage them. We actually had, I don't know if y'all know this, had some people that came back because of that event and checked us out. And they actually, as we were at that event, I found one gentleman that I recognized that we actually helped him during a previous serve day and went into his backyard, cut some trees down, and helped him with some things around his yard. And he's got some health issues. And I looked at him and I said, hey, I remember you. And I said, hey, do you know of anybody that in the community that's got some needs, and we got an event coming up, we're going to do that again. And he immediately started mentioning people, and other people started mentioning people that we could help. And I tell you, it does make a difference. And we've actually got a regular attender here that's been here for quite some time that came to this church because of our serve day. But most importantly, what we want them to get connected to is the love of God and know who Jesus Christ is. And this is a great opportunity to reach out. Our focus has got to be, Michelle Ziner is always saying this to me, outreach, outreach, outreach. And it's becoming my theme now. Outreach, outreach, outreach. We need to reach out. We're not just a club of us four and no more. We need to reach out. Well, this is it. We had an opportunity during our community picnic. We've got an opportunity to on the serve day, July the 11th. So be sure and mark your calendars. That's extremely important because it's not just about coming and showing up on Sundays. We want to minister to those in need and reach out and show the love of Christ. Be light and salt. Let me just mention this in our huddle, our dream team huddle this morning. Just such an encouraging time we had together. We also meet at 9 o'clock for a time of prayer, and then I have a production meeting after that, and then I go into a dream team huddle, and then that huddle, Randy Miller, I'm just going to spotlight him today. He led us in prayer, and he took a moment to share how that 39 years ago yesterday he came to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he's celebrating that today with tears in his eyes, talking about the faithfulness of God, how good God is, and how what this thing is all about, how we're supposed to be salt and we're supposed to be light. And it's all about those who haven't heard. It's not about us. It's about them and showing the love of Christ to them. And so I just thank God for that. And I celebrate with Rand. I celebrate with you our freedom that's found in Christ today. And so as we're approaching this Independence Day, I want to just focus in on our freedom. You know, Independence Day is a day where we celebrate, obviously, our independence. It's a festive day. A lot of things happen around on July the 4th. A lot of fireworks happen. You know, I grew up in a time where fireworks, it was kind of subdued compared to what it is today. Let me just say it that way. I remember being in Daytona Beach, Florida, where I grew up. I'm originally from Charlotte, but I grew up there. And I remember a friend and I, we had these things called sparklers. Anybody know what sparklers are? Sparklers, man, sparklers. I mean, that doesn't even get a spark today, you know. But I remember we were in our backyard. We were had sparklers. We thought we had it going on with sparklers. And we were throwing them up into the sky, you know, seeing how far we could throw these sparklers. And I still remember to this day, I was at the back of my house, and the house next to me, because of the way the light was, it kind of, if somebody was coming around the side of the house, you could see their shadow against that other house coming around. And I remember as we were in the backyard, I saw the shadow, the outline of a police officer's hat.
coming against the shadow of the other house. And we're like, oh, no. And so he comes around and starts telling us, you know, if you throw those sparklers up and they hit on the top of your house, you could cause a fire. And that was the sparklers. And I remember it wasn't too long ago, I was in Orlando, Florida, visiting my folks and happened to be there on July the 4th or the 1st of the year? I don't remember. I just remember it was a war zone on their street. I'm telling you, I thought I smelled napalm. You know, I mean, it was like, it can't be legal. You know, we used to have to sneak over to South Carolina to get any kind of fireworks. Now, man, I mean, we got bombs bursting in air. And we celebrate our freedom. We celebrate our independence, and we celebrate all that. But today, I want to highlight three types of freedom. First of all, there's an external freedom, and that's what we enjoy as Americans. We're free to go and to do as we please. We have freedom to own property. We have civil liberties in this country that we enjoy. And how many knows that freedom, it comes with a price? We know that as a country, when we became a country, it cost 25,000 lives in the War of Independence. And people, then there was many people even after that that didn't have freedom. And so ensued the Civil War, and there were over 620,000 lives that were given for the cost of freedom. In fact, over the last 239 years, there's been over 1 million lives that have been given in wars and in battles to ensure our freedom. And so there's that external freedom that we enjoy. And this isn't in your notes, but you might want to write these three things down here. And that's, first of all, there's that external freedom. And then secondly, there's eternal freedom. And that is the freedom that we have. We have a freedom where we know that we have an eternal freedom, eternal life in heaven with God, because that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came. God gave his Son, that because he loved us so much that he laid his life down on the cross and paid for our sins for us so that we wouldn't have to, granting us freedom, granting us liberty, so that we could have the assurance of having eternal life. And it's all summed up in this nutshell of the gospel that in John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's an eternal freedom that you and I can know before we leave here today, be assured of that we have. It's an eternal freedom that one day we're going to live with God forever. You know, this past year, Kim lost both of her parents in a span of 9 months, and it causes us sorrow and turmoil, but here's the truth of the matter. Right now, they are enjoying that eternal place in the eternal presence of an eternal living God. There's no more sorrow, there's no more crying, there's no more dying. And I want to tell you, that's the hope that we all have, that eternal life, that eternal freedom that we have in knowing Jesus. And that comes because of Jesus and what he gave. And while it costs 1.1 million lives here in America to grant our freedom, it costs one precious life, and that was Jesus Christ, the only one that can assure us of eternal freedom. But then there's another freedom that I really want to focus on today, and that is an internal freedom. There's external freedom, there's an eternal freedom, but then there's an internal freedom. And that means that it doesn't matter what kind of freedoms you may enjoy as an American, what's given to you or even what may be even taken from you, this freedom only comes through Jesus as well. But in this freedom, we get very much involved in this. We have a major role in this internal freedom. And here's the fact of the matter. Oftentimes, even though people have an eternal freedom, they know their salvation is secure in Christ. Yet, oftentimes in life, internally, we live in and we operate in this bondage, in this place of imprisonment within ourselves. And my heart is that people here, listen to me today, we need to be free on the inside. And Jesus came that we might be free on the inside. And my heart is that today, internally, there will be some chains broken. There will be some prison bars open for you today, and you'll know that you can walk out of here in freedom internally on the inside. Galatians chapter 3, there in your message notes, we'll put it up here on the screen for you, simply says this. Is there a conflict then between God's law and God's promises? Is there a conflict then between his law and his promises? Absolutely not. If the law could give us new life, we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. We're all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom. Everybody say freedom. We receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus Christ. And so today I want to talk about, there's four things that I'm hoping and praying that you'll experience freedom in. And number one, and there it's there in your message notes, and that's this, and that is that freedom, that we may experience freedom from our pain. From our pain. For a lot of us, there's pain on the inside. And it may be caused because of things that we've done to ourselves and decisions and choices we've made. It may be a pain that's inflicted on us because of what others have done. It may be harsh words. It may be abuse. It may be betrayal. It could be from an accident that's happened, a tragedy or a loss of some kind, but it's left you on the inside dealing with this pain that doesn't go away. Some people have walked in pain for years, and almost it's become their companion. They've embraced their pain, and they walk in this state of pain. I'm here to declare to you that God wants to free you on the inside and heal your heart on the inside. But oftentimes, it's out of our control. But yet, on the inside, we're trapped by this pain. Second area I believe that we need to be freed from, and that is we need freedom from our failures. Freedom from our failures. And that means it's not necessarily things that we've done wrong. But it could be that we just didn't quite succeed like we thought we would. We didn't measure up. We didn't make the grade in some area of our life. It may be that you tried out for a football team and you didn't make it. And you felt like it altered your course of life. And you've blamed the coach ever since. Or you had a business that you attempted and you put everything you could into it. And you tried to get it to succeed, and yet, despite all of your efforts, it failed. Perhaps it was a marriage that you thought was the greatest marriage ever, and this was it, and yet your marriage failed and did not succeed. There's oftentimes we deal with these failures, and we become bitter of it. In fact, I've been back to some high school reunions, I hate to say this, I've been to my 30th high school reunion, and you still got people at the 30th talking about things that were done wrong to them in high school. They've been carrying that pain with them all that time. And those failures are very real oftentimes in different areas of our life. And so then number three, and that is freedom from our sin. Freedom from our sin. And sin is on all of us. In other words, we like to blame people for this, but this is on us. We all sin. It may be our attitudes or our actions or our mistakes, and where those sins take over on the inside and we're chained down by our sin. And let me just say, there is something called sin. There is a right and a wrong. I'm just going to put a little parenthesis in here this morning. In fact, I know we live in a day where there's been some events this week. Got a lot of people riled up. And so I'm just going to put a pause button here and just kind of speak into that for just a moment. I'm going to step back out of it. We're going to continue. But I know there's a lot of people that expect the pastor to get up and say a bunch of things on this week. In fact, I read somewhere, somebody said, if your pastor doesn't address this week, you need to be finding another church. Well, here's the thing. I think some of us are being called to a fight, and I'm not here to fight. Can I get a good amen right there? All right. Some people are picking a fight right now, and I do know this. God so loved, and so we love. And we are to love the world, and we are to be compassionate. We don't come to condemn, and Jesus never did come to condemn. But the Bible says that Jesus came, and he came this way. We beheld his glory, the Bible says, in John chapter 1, and his glory was full of grace and truth. And grace is the statement that Jesus gave to the woman who was accused of adultery, And he said, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none, my Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. That is grace. But there was a second part, and that was truth. He then said to her, go and sin no more. So he identified what she had been doing as wrong. And so it was full of grace, but it was also full of truth. So while we love people, we with honor and with respect and in a very honorable way that's Christ-like, we do stand for truth, and we do not compromise on truth. Can I get another good amen? And let me just encourage you, don't be drawn in to all the mudslinging right now. Okay? We're talking about, Paul's got here just to talk about what the Bible categorizes sin. Now, how do you know what sin is, Pastor? Well, here's how we know. It's not my opinion, and it's not your opinion. It's based on what God's Word says. Now, what you'll find, if you listen, because you're going to hear it, you'll hear stuff everywhere, okay? All kind of opinions being thrown around. But if you'll focus and hone it in on what the core issue becomes, it's not the issues of our day. It's not the issues of our day. And it could be this issue today, it could be another issue tomorrow, all kind of issues out there. Those issues are not the issue. Listen to me. God is the issue. God is the issue. And His Word is the issue, and it comes all the way back. We could take every problem we have, go back to Genesis, the book of beginnings, in the Garden of Eden, where there was a tempter there, right? And he said, now, did God really mean what He said? Now, and at the core of every argument, the question is, does the Bible mean what it says? There's only, I understand, and this is startling, but there's only 7% of churches that believe that the Bible is an inerrant, infallible Word of God. You happen to be in one of those, okay? We believe the Word of God. Now, that's our choice. And so, what that does, it already resolves and answers a lot of those questions ahead of time. You say, how can you derive on that? By the Word of God. It all comes back, not my word, you're not attacking me, the question is, do you believe the Word of God? And that has to be your choice. And everybody has a choice to believe or not believe. I choose to believe the Word of God and accept it just as it says and mold my life to it instead of it to me. Is that okay, everybody? So I just want to encourage you. Here's what we're called to do, though. What the world needs this day is an opportunity for the church. It's an opportunity for the church. It's not us getting in a big defensive mode and start throwing rocks over the wall. No, it's for us to let down the wall and reach out with love. Here's what we need to do. I love what Randy said in our meeting this morning in our huddle, and that is we are called for such a time as this. We are called to be light. We're called to be salt. We're the light of the world. And so listen, let your light shine. Show the love of God, because here's what we do know. Jesus gives a peace that the world doesn't give, all right? And we have that peace inside of us. And that's what the world is after. That's what the world is searching for in all the wrong places. But I want to tell you, peace comes in walking with Him, following Him. And all we need to do is follow Christ and let the peace of God, come on, let the aroma of His presence be in you and around you and affect those around you. Come on, let's be contagious Christians with the love of Christ and love people. Amen. Is that all right? Everybody coming back next week, say, okay, I'll be back. All right. So I need to say that. And let me just throw this out. This is not in your notes, but in Isaiah chapter 5, it says this: woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. So we need to be careful. You need to be very careful, because some of these issues are very clear. What needs to be cleared up is if we accept the Word of God as our guide. And I encourage Crosspoint, be the church that follows the Word of God, but we live out this thing in a way that we can influence people and not push people away, okay? Number four, I believe that we need freedom from our selfishness, And that's not necessarily sin, but sometimes, listen, selfishness is just this thing where everything revolves around us. And we all tend to go there. That's our nature, to gravitate towards being selfish. And there's people that are bound where they live every minute of every day for number one and consumed. We're consumed with ourselves. And I believe God comes to give us freedom from ourselves. We can experience this freedom, but there's a price to be paid. And that price is that we must surrender. It brings us to a lordship test of saying, okay, are you truly Lord of all of my life? And if Jesus is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all, right? And so look at Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 with me. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how we experience true freedom, is that we no longer live, but Christ lives within us. What does that look like to surrender? I believe it's like literally going to the altar and laying things down. Like Abraham, God asked him to lay down his most precious possession, his own son Isaac. And he was willing to go and to lay him down. And so we must surrender. The first thing we must surrender is there in your notes, and that is give him your passions. Give him your passions. Lay something that you are passionate about on the altar. Oftentimes, we want to go with our life in one direction, and God says, no, I've got a different direction for your life, but I'm passionate about this, God. Oftentimes, God requires those things that we're passionate about. Now, he's not just trying to get you stuff. What he's trying to get is you. He's after you. He's after your heart. And that's why in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he says this, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be, what you're invested in. And that becomes your the thing that you worship, you go after. And that's why God, he's just not after your stuff, but he wants to know where he places in your life. So those things that are important to you, be willing to lay them down. Lay them down. I was thinking about how does this apply to me? And the only thing I could come up with was when I went down to Florida, some of you are going to nod on this one. When I went down to Florida, I got sand in my shoes, and I loved it down there. I love palm trees, y'all. Y'all know I love palm trees. And I remember I was in high school, I sung this song about whatever it takes. And in that song it says, take my houses, my lands, change my dreams and my plans. You know, if through sorrow I'll become more like you, Lord, grant that to be the case. And God brought me to North Carolina and away from my palm trees. And I got red mud instead of sand, you know. And I remember when I first got married, every day, every waking moment, how can I get back to Florida? I mean, there's got to be a plan, a way out of here. I see some people, the beach people are nodding at me. Thank you for that. I mean, you know, I didn't love it. But you know what? I had somebody come with me the other day, actually a few weeks ago. They came visit the church, and they knew me from way back, and they said, so you still trying to get that back to Florida? And you know what I told the guy? I said, you know what? I said, I had to give that to the Lord. Here's my deal. If God wants me here, I'm ready to be here until he calls me or takes me. I'm here for, I mean, and so you got to get to a point where you say, God, I lay that down. I lay that down. I love music. I love the band. I love marching band. I don't care how geekish you think that sounds. I love marching band. I was a drum major. I was at Florida State University Marching Chiefs on the staff and all that stuff. You know, all that stuff. And my sons are rolling their eyes right now. I love that stuff, you know. But you know what? God had another calling for me. And look, and guess what? It's better. It's not, oh, I could have had. No, it's better. God's plan is always better than our plan. So you got to be willing to give him your passions and lay that down. Number two, and that is give him your problems. Now, that sounds like fun. I love to give God my problems. I got taxes I don't want to pay. And so, God, if you just take care of that and pay it for me, I appreciate it. I got a mortgage I like to pay. God, I'm going to give that problem to you. If you just pay for that, I appreciate that. I got a boss at work. You know, I just like, look. But here, some problems, those kind of things are easy. But some problems are actually hard for us to let go. And we're attached to our problems oftentimes. And God wants to fix those problems, but we're not willing to lay them on the altar. Listen to this, and let them go. Many of us find security in pain and hurt and in our issues. But if we're going to experience freedom, those deepest issues, we must be willing to leave them on the altar and surrender. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. And so we got to be willing to lay those down and allow God to take care of them. We can't fix them ourselves. We've got to be willing to let them go. Look at number three, and that is give him your plans. Give him your plans. We all have plans. But God's plans, as I've already alluded to, is better. It's better. Those things we're passionate about, those things we're planning, those things in our life, we got to lay those things down. And we lay down our plans along with that. And our plans, I'm telling you, are not always the best plans. It's like I shared this some years ago, but it fits here. And that is, you know, I remember, I know, again, I'm a geekish guy. I'm not cool, but I thought it would be cool to get a minivan. I know for guys, that's not cool. You get the SUV. But I thought it'd be cool to get a minivan because I could picture my whole family when we went down to Florida for all of us getting the minivan instead of two separate cars and all drive together to a certain destination. What was I thinking? Because when I go home, I'm no longer a 53-year-old man. I'm my dad's little boy. And I'm driving, and he's telling me every move to make and watch this car, and everybody's yelling at me, and everybody, and all over. I'm thinking, what was I thinking? My plan is not the best plan here. Like I saw this picture of this guy in a canoe, and it looked so tranquil, and I'm thinking, I'm going to get me a canoe. That's what I need. I need to take a canoe ride. I was at work when I saw this picture, and I was all stressed out, and I said, I need to go into one of those Florida springs with a canoe and just be still. And so I decided I'd do that. And so we went, and I got the whole family together, and we all get in this canoe, and the boys were a lot younger then. And so we're trying to get four people in a canoe. Y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? And so as we get in the canoe, and canoes do like this, and Theron's about 8 years older than his brother, and his brother's wanting to stand up. He don't understand, and the older brother's trying to sit him down, and he's got fingernail marks in his arms, sitting his brother down, and the youngest one's screaming, the oldest one's screaming, mom's screaming, I'm screaming, and the birds are screaming. Raccoons are running for their life. Alligators are, whoom, they're gone, man. I mean, birds are taking flight. We got about from here to there off of the dock. I turned the thing around, came back to the dock. Got us out of the canoe. The guy handed me my money back. And then I looked at that picture, and I thought, what am I missing here? And I missed one element. The guy was alone. Our plans are not necessarily the best plans. And we got to get to a place where we say, Lord, your plans are better, not my will, but your will. Psalm 20 says this: may he grant your heart's desire and may all your plans succeed. Now, a lot of people think, well, that just means I was going to tell God what I want, he's going to grant it to me. No, what this means is, in fact, one scripture says, puts it this way: commit your way into the Lord and he'll bring it to pass. Commit your way to the Lord. What he's saying is, when your way and your will becomes his way and his will, you've committed that to him, it becomes him, his will, then he's able then to grant you his perfect plan, right? It's no longer your plan or your will. You commit that to the Lord, and then he brings that about, what his perfect will is for us. And so we got to surrender that to the Lord. So how do I live free? So we got to look at this. We got to give him our passions, give him our problems, give him our plans. Look at this with me in Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Talking about how do we live in freedom? How do we walk this out and experience freedom on the inside? He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. That seems backwards, but it's not. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? And so the first way this works is, number one, we must deny ourselves. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. And that's so contrary to our nature. Let me give you another verse there. Deny yourself. Romans chapter 6. Do not let sin, everybody say sin. There's such a thing. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. While it sounds simple, it can be very difficult because our human nature is we don't want to do that. We can pray a simple prayer, and it may be a simple prayer, but it will cost you everything because we are naturally selfish. We think about us. We think about number one. Now, I want to encourage you. I'm going to give you a word. You won't find it in the dictionary. In fact, if you put it on your iPad or whatever, it'll show up as an error. But it's unoffendable. Unoffendable. We need to be unoffendable. How can we be unoffendable? Because, see, listen, one of the tricks, one of the main, I think, tactics of the enemy in your life is to offend you. If he can offend you, he can pull you away from God's plan for your life. And I encourage, in fact, I've been telling everybody that comes through the growth track, I do church 101, the first Sunday of each month, and to everybody, I always say, I encourage everybody that comes in the door, look, don't guard yourself against offenses because that's the tactic that the enemy uses. But how can we be unoffendable? It's because we die to ourselves and we live to Christ. It's very hard for dead people to get offended. Right? I mean, think about it. But if it's not you, but it's Christ living in you. You have a new life in Christ today. The old life is gone. It's not about me anymore, right? I'm living for Him. My life is surrendered completely to Him. I deny myself. Number two, follow Him. Follow Him. Let me just get a little practical with that because we say, well, follow Him. Well, we know in the Bible, He was walking down the street. John's disciples saw Him and they followed Him. They could do that in a tangible way. How do we do that today? Jesus is not here. We're to follow Him. We need to ask those questions. You remember the what, WWJD? What would Jesus do? You know, we need to think about those things. But how do we do that? In a practical way, it could be also, the Bible says, mark the godly man, right? Mark, for the end of that man is peace. Mark the perfect man. So we need to have examples in our life that we can follow. We're not following people. We're following Christ. But I love what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So who in your life? This is just a practical way how to live this life. And that's why, listen, that's why you need to be connected. That's why you need to get in a small group and get connected and have mentors over you. That's why you need to have somebody in your life. I've got people in my life. I've got pastors that I look to and I call on that I look to that help me. And things, there's times where I get to a juncture in the road and I don't know which way to go. I reach out. I ask some advice. I get some counsel. The Bible says in a multitude of counsel, there's wisdom. Have somebody you can look to for example, right? That's why you need to be in church, connected to people of faith that have the same values you do, that says, hey, how do we live this thing out? How do we deal with this? You know, what do I do here in my marriage, with my kids? Follow the example of those set before you. Number three, and that's stand firm. Stand firm. I think, well, okay, if I do these things, I surrender, I follow Christ, it's all downhill from there. Well, I hate to tell you, it's not all downhill from there. There's going to be battles that you're going to have to fight. Right? We're not seeing through rose-colored glasses today. And there's going to be times in your life you're going to have to decide whether I'm going to live my life by pressure or by principle. And there's going to be you might have some Daniel moments in your life where you say, look, you can throw me in the lion's den or you can throw me in the fiery furnace, but I'm just going to follow my God. I'm going to follow my God. I'm not up in your face with my stuff, but I'm going to follow my God. I'm going to set an example. I'm going to be light around me, right? You got to stand firm. You got to stand your ground. You got to stand for what is right. And so we need to stand firm. Stand firm. America is here today because we had to stand firm. And still today, we haven't stopped fighting battles. We're standing firm against attacks, against threats. Galatians chapter 5 says this, it is for freedom. Everybody say freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Look at this. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to do that stuff anymore. I'm not going to visit that website and do this and that. I'm going to stand firm in the liberty and the freedom. I'm not going to be tangled up in bondage again. I'm going to walk this out. I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to stand in freedom. I'm going to follow the Lord fully with all my heart. So don't be entangled again. So I'm not going back. So we got to fight the fight. And, you know, I was thinking through this point. I was thinking, you know, it's one thing to say this, but let me just go a little deeper here for just a moment. And that is your fight is not against people, okay? The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of the air, right? We wrestle, whether you realize it or not, you're in a spiritual warfare. It's not just what you see. There's an unknown that we don't see. And so there's a spiritual warfare. And so if you're going to fight, you're going to have to fight in the power of the Spirit. There's a spiritual warfare. So the enemy is not your boss. The enemy is not your wife. The enemy is not your husband. But the enemy, there is an enemy, the Bible says, wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he wants to steal your freedom. And so if we're going to win this thing and we're going to walk this thing out, we've got to win it in the spiritual. And how do we do that, Pastor? Stay in the Word. You're going to lose direction and compass in this maze of a world if you don't stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. In fact, our website, so excited about our website. Thanks to my son for putting that thing together. Come on, everybody. I'm so excited about that. Y'all gonna get to explore that. There's the site. But look, when one of the things I've asked him for, we're going to have a lot more going into it. So if you don't see everything you want yet, just wait. It's coming. One of the things I've asked for, I said, I want a daily Bible reading and devotion that changes every day that our people can go to, have a reason to get that website, and get in the Word every day. Get into the Word. Live in the Word, man. I'm telling you, you have to eat every day, right? You'd be famished if you didn't. Get into the Word every day. Stay in the Word, right? That is the sword of the Spirit. That's not to kill anybody, but it's to render truth, right? We need truth in our life. But then also pray. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every evil thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. And I tell you, if you're not praying, I'm telling you, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Stay on your knees. Stay in prayer. Stay in His presence. And by the way, that's not a task. That's a delight. It's a delight. It's not an obligation. It's a joy to be able to be in His presence. And the more you pray, the more you'll discover it's a delight to be in His presence. And you establish that relationship and you begin to know who He is and you know His heartbeat the closer you get to Him. The way that you stand firm is abiding in Him and letting Him by His power, because it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And He'll accomplish the work in us and through us. Finally, let me mention this point, and that is focus on God's best. Focus on God's best. God is so good. He's awesome. And when His children are doing wrong and are straying and are away, God is not mad at them. I had this picture come to me this morning. When Jesus was on the cross, I don't believe His hands were in a fist. His hands were open. His arms were open. His heart open and bleeding for us. And I'll tell you what may be happening around you and in your life and in our society or what have you, it needs to put the church on its feet. And then after the church is on its feet, it needs to then stand the church, let me back up. I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to be on our knees in prayer. I'm getting ahead of myself. We need to be on our knees in prayer. And then after that, we need to get off of our knees and on our feet and be God's hands and feet, right, to the world and show the love of Christ. But His hands were open. God is an awesome, awesome God. And God wants, He wants His best. He wants His lost children to come home. He wants His best for you and I. So we must focus on what's best. Look, let me give you this last verse. And this is just from a very friendly translation from the Message. But it just really speaks it plainly to us. In Galatians chapter 5, look at what it says here. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things. That's kind of odd to find these days, right? A sense of compassion in the heart and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life. You don't have to force your way in life. Able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Would you bow your heads with me? And let's just take a moment. Thank you, God, for your word today. Thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. And today I pray for those that are in captivity in their mind, in their spirit, where their emotions are just tied up in knots. God, I just pray that your peace would be known, and that by your Holy Spirit, you would come in, and we would allow you to come in and establish your house in us. God, I pray that you would clear out everything that's unlike you. And God, let your fruit of the Spirit fill our house. God, help us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. Especially today, I pray for those that are hurting, that are in pain, that are trapped by sin or trapped by the past. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would set them free today. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Today, you're in a place in your life where you know that you're not experiencing the true freedom that you know God grants you today. There's not liberty. There's some area of your life where it's got you bound. It may be an addiction, it may be a habit, it may just be the torment of yesterday that haunts you today and keeps you pulling you back. But today Jesus comes that you might be free. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the fullest. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth shall set you free. And then he presented himself as the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way to freedom today. If you're here today and you'd like to experience that freedom, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. And I believe as you pray this prayer, everything in your life is going to change drastically. I believe that. But the key is not just in this prayer, but in your believing and praying it from in faith in your heart, talking to the Lord. But I want to help lead you in a prayer. That's you today. I want to take a moment, just to lead you in a prayer. Just help you with the words right where you're sitting. I'm not going to have you stand. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. It's between you and God. But I want to help you with this morning. But that's you today, and you say, I need that freedom. I need freedom in my life today. If that's you in any way, shape, or form, would you just slip up a hand and put it back down? Just slip up a hand right where you're sitting. God bless you this morning. God bless you today. God bless you. Yes, sir. So proud of you. Yes, ma'am. God bless you today. Yes, yes. I'm proud of you. Let's do this. I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and I'd like everybody here praying this prayer together just in support of those. Just pray it out loud, those that need to pray this prayer. And if you didn't even raise your hand, but you need to pray this prayer today, that's all right. Just join us in this prayer from your heart. Just simple, say something like this. Just say, Lord Jesus, come on everybody, pray it out. Say, Lord Jesus, today I want to thank you for dying on the cross so that I can be free. I accept what you did on the cross, and I ask you to be my Lord. I surrender to you. I die to myself and my selfish desires, and I choose to follow you. Please forgive me for living life my way. I commit everything to you today. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Come on, pray it. And thank you for our new relationship. I give you my life. In Jesus' name.